Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood.
Hello.
Did you just swallow a burp?
Yeah, kind of. Well, kind of half. Yeah, half a burp.
I mean, like this?
You were.
Yeah, like just like that. Tolton's here.
Really?
Yeah. In case you didn't know.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, he's here.
So, Eddie, how was your week, man? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I had a gig last week.
Where'd you go?
Some bar show.
What was the bar?
Where was it? This isn't Long Beach.
If you don't know, guys, I'm looking up YouTube videos.
Okay, thanks.
I think that's
What in particular YouTube video are you looking up?
I'm looking up Unspeakable Star Wars.
Okay. Videos. He watches YouTube videos of just people playing Minecraft.
That sounds boring.
And the minimum amount of views on any of the videos is 1 million.
That's got to be a little bit depressing for any
super depressing. There's like 19-year-old kids playing Minecraft to live in mansions.
That's weird.
And it's just a half-hour video of them playing Minecraft.
And are they showing
the
people
minimum
levels?
Amount of views is like 1 million on their
you
worst
don't have
video.
To say your opinion right in front of me. You know I can hear that. You know I can hear
I know you're a big fan of the YouTube videos. I know. It makes no sense in my mind, but
so are they like exploring
makes
new levels?
Sense.
No.
Makes just total sense to me because you don't like them.
What do you love about them? Let's get to the heart of that.
Cuz they're funny.
Okay, they're funny. It's unbelievable.
Have you
guys
watched them?
Tell me if
occasionally guys, I check in on them.
Guys, let's tell Dad that funny videos are worth it.
Funny videos are worth it, guys. That's
Colton's
fortune cookie
videos
for the night. What?
Did you learn anything from the Minecraft videos?
No. It's just guys running around Minecraft screaming. Like, they all play together. They all know each other. They're all connected. And then they do these videos where they, like, one guy will do his video, and he's playing in the same world with the other guy, and he's got his video up, and they both have 1 million views per video.
But I'm
and they put up, like, one or two a day.
What's the, like, what's so enticing about it?
I don't know. Kids watch it. I don't know.
But what's the reason?
I don't know.
Are they fans that they play the game, and they're just, like, wanting to see
I guess. It's crazy.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
That's bonkers.
But, like, what's his face?
It's
PewDiePie.
It's crazy like you, Dad. Oh!
Like, PewDiePie's like that fame, but that's all he did. He played video games. Like, most of those YouTube people are just
you
like,
don't know,
they play
I
video games.
I spend half of my time playing on the iPad.
Yeah, we know.
AKA playing video games.
Okay.
You know, the world is in their hands.
I know.
This worries me.
I know.
I went to Coachella this weekend.
How was that?
It was crazy. It was awesome. Over 100,000 people.
Ugh, sounds awful.
Actually, about 100,000 people.
That sounds terrible.
But I got a VIP pass, so I avoided a lot of that.
Was it hot?
It was pretty hot, but we had a house with a pool. It was pretty nice. We had about 10 people.
Do you guys rent it? Or?
Yeah, we rented it. It was awesome. We do it every year, and it's pretty awesome. It's like a great little vacation because you're like swimming in the pool all day, barbecuing with friends all day. Going to the festival and
did you go both weekends or just?
I just went one. I don't think I could do both weekends. And the crazy thing is, Beyonce performed. She had like maybe an 80-piece marching band and dancers and a band and all kinds of craziness.
Really?
And then,
So you were there for that big performance or that was the weekend before, wasn't it?
It was both.
Oh,
so
she did both.
It's identical shows and even the special guests usually are completely the same.
Excuse me?
Yes, Colton.
Is there a fart button on there?
There may be. I have to scroll a little bit. I'm gonna There it is. There it is. Yeah. That one's for you.
There you go. You're happy now? Digital. Can you go back to YouTube?
It smells like dad.
Wow. All right. Good stuff.
It's getting the digs in.
Yeah.
But I saw Eminem and Dr. Dre and Eminem. I mean, Dr. Dre and 50 Cent sat in too, which was awesome because I'd never seen 50 Cent.
What does a VIP pass get you there? Like, do you get closer to the stage? How do you avoid 100,000 people?
So, it's sometimes you can get front of stage access.
Yeah.
But they've limited that every year. It gets worse and worse. then they also have like a little area where you can watch the main stage.
Yeah.
And then they have another area where there's like better food, better bathroom facilities. You go in a different entrance, so you don't go in with everybody.
Right.
It's pretty dialed in, you know. It's not as awesome as the VIP passes for Bonnaroo, but they're pretty awesome.
Colton. Yes.
Can anyone explain to me what is happening? Because right now I have not the heck idea what's going on.
Right. This is exactly this feeling you're having right now is the feeling I have when I watch you watch YouTube.
Right, you are that feeling.
Oh,
what is your deal?
Zingers all day.
Why are you being so mean?
It's not.
Is it because you have an iPad?
It's savageness.
Savageness?
That's called lack of discipline, Eddie. So it was awesome. I saw a new band.
Have you ever played Coachella?
No, but I'm trying to. The guy that started Coachella booked us at Arroyo Seco personally last year. So I'm hoping that next year will be our chance to play. And I had a lot of friends that played. I had some friends that played with Eminem. I had some friends that sang backup for Portugal the Man. I had a couple friends play with some other people. And I didn't catch everything that I wanted to. It's just natural. It's usually like how it is. But the performance of the whole festival for me was Jamiroquai. Do you remember Jamiroquai?
Sounds familiar.
They were like 70s disco funk. The band was slamming. It was packed. They went through it like an arsenal of their catalog. It was just like high energy funk music the whole time. I saw Nile Rodgers and Chic, which is like a throwback 70s band. They were phenomenal. He played, like, he did a medley of all the songs that he produced. David Bowie, Donna Summers, Chic, obviously Duran Duran. And you just listen, you're like, man, this guy did. He worked with everybody. He worked with Michael Jackson, Madonna, everybody you can think of, any major icon. So his show is pretty awesome.
What? Yes, Colton, you have your hand up.
Colton's got a question.
What's your question?
I have a question.
What's your question?
My question is that on that thing, I'm just asking, is there a Star Wars one?
No. There is, but I'm in the middle of a story, so it's going to have to wait a minute. We've got to
finish the story.
Okay.
Sit still. Be quiet.
So there it was cool. There was a band that I hadn't heard before called War on Drugs. They were pretty amazing. They were like a band that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Man, they were so... it was like Pink Floyd with like a Dylan-esque kind of vibe. So it was just like a big sound. The crazy thing is one of the biggest artists right now is Post Malone. He's everywhere.
Never heard of him.
He's all over the radio, all over the pop charts. He's on every festival.
That's his number one song right now.
He's got a song called Congratulations and another one called Rockstar. Listen to it. They're pretty bad songs.
I don't know.
Dude, his performance was the worst. It was so awful. And there were probably 20,000 people in his tent. Just in his tent. I was like, you know what? This is where I have no faith in the future of the music industry. When this is what's being kind of touted as being awesome. But there were some surprises, some under-the-radar artists. A lot of the people didn't know a lot of the bands, which was great. So you got to discover a lot of music.
Yeah.
So it's becoming like this vehicle, you know, for a lot of people to discover music more so than it's ever been. So,
well, I'll take your word for it because I will never go.
You know what? When we play it, you may come, Eddie.
I'm not going.
It's pretty fun, though.
100,000 people. I'm good.
What about Bonnaroo? What if we play Bonnaroo?
Probably not.
What about the comedy tent?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's fun. Bonnaroo is actually my favorite festival.
That's Seattle, right?
That's in
what's one? Bumper Shoot Seattle.
Bumper Shoot Seattle. We played Bonnaroo twice, but what's great about that is there's a comedy tent when you want to just.
Yeah, there's one in Bumper Shoot too. Yeah.
Yeah, they should do that at Coachella, but I don't know if it's the right scene. But I did see some visual media that was one of the best things I've ever seen. It was a giant dome.
Yeah.
And they had music to it, but it was just like CGI graphics, just the most intense it's like an 8 minute short, but it was like one of the most intense things I've ever seen.
Cool.
Can't explain it. Mm. But anyways, looks like we got our special guest here. I'm gonna make sure I don't introduce him with a fart noise.
Let's have Colton walk out the same door. Say bye, Colton. We'll see you at the end of the show.
I thought you said the Star Wars thing.
I gotta wait. I'll bring it back
at the end. Say bye. We'll see you at the end of the show.
Bye.
All right, we got producer and singer songwriter Chase Rossner. Say hello.
Thank you.
We hide our studio audience.
Yeah. Thank you. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you, dude?
Doing great. Doing great.
You know what? We don't even know each other that well. So let's just start with, where are you from, man?
Born and raised right here in L.A.
When you say right here in L.A., give me the specifics.
So I...
Because Nikhil says that, but he wasn't born and raised right in the middle of L.A.
But I've been here since I was four.
Okay. So I was born at Cedars.
Hmm.
So was Colton.
Wow.
Very cool. Lived on the west side till the 94 earthquake.
Yeah.
My dad, who was from the East Coast, he moved us to Scottsdale for a little bit. And then we came back.
Out of the fear of the earthquake?
Out of the fear, yeah. Wow, he was spooked. And we went to Scottsdale for a bit, and then I came back for middle school and high school and went to college in Santa Barbara. But for middle school and high school, we lived right here in Woodland Hills, and that's where my parents still live.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you really are from L.A.
Yeah.
You weren't joking.
No.
Man. That's a rare.
Did you lose a lot in the 94 earthquake?
Not a ton. Experience. But I think our place got yellow tagged. Our neighbors got red tagged.
Oh.
So, and what's kind of scary is it was a block away from where I live, like right now.
So, oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was like, crazy. You know, but, you know, it's LA earthquakes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I take it wasn't your Scottsdale experience that got you into music.
No. It was, I guess. Well, actually, I started playing guitar out there. Actually, it was one of my mom's friends had he's a guitar player, and I just kind of took interest and started playing around 10. I'd played piano a little bit before, but really started guitar at 10, and that's when I was like, "This is what I want to do." I kind of knew it.
You were like bit by the bug.
Yeah.
What did you start playing first?
I started playing with just like punk rock stuff, and I just had a little classical guitar, but got an SG later on, and
I just got an SG. I love that guitar.
I have a 1961 reissue.
Oh, so it's, very nice, dude.
I love that thing.
You love AC/DC. That's the SG right there.
AC/DC's good.
You're like, what punk rock? Do you like punk rock, Eddie?
I don't know enough about. I mean,
Eddie's all about Pearl Jam. Anything Pearl Jam related.
First of all, I'm not that in, like, I don't have a humongous reference for music anyway. I'm not like a big, but that's just me.
It's all right.
I can't name bands and songs.
Not everyone's perfect.
So
I'm just kidding. I kid. So you started writing music at how old?
I started writing, I guess it was like sophomore year of high school. I really started like rapping.
Whoa.
Yeah, just writing raps. And then eventually it was like at 16 I took a my school had a songwriting and technology elective, and I learned Logic
That's amazing.
And I learned
in high school?
Yeah.
Wow. What high school did you go to?
It was called New Community Jewish High School. Now it's called De Toledo High School. It's in West Hills. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty small school, though.
I wish all public schools... it's not a private...
It's private school, yeah.
If they're teaching Logic, and yeah, that's definitely not a public school.
Yeah.
But I wish they would do that in public schools, like give music programs.
Definitely.
Like that, you know what I mean? Because that's what's missing.
Absolutely. I mean, it was amazing. My teacher set me up with a little interface, and it kind of got me started, and I went to Santa Barbara for music, Santa Barbara City College.
Wow.
Got an AA in music and took a bunch of songwriting classes, which is actually where I met Evan Blum, which is how we know each
other. Wait, you didn't meet him in Santa Barbara, did you?
Met him in a songwriting class at Santa Barbara City College.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, years ago.
Evan was a guest on our
show. I remember Evan, yeah.
So the funny thing is they know each other and they work together. So I didn't think they met in Santa Barbara. I thought they met in L.A.
We didn't reconnect until we were back, it was a year ago that we connected and... So
that's about when he was on the show.
Yeah,
about a year ago, maybe.
Wait, you've only known him for, you reconnected a year ago?
It was only about, it was like a year and a half ago or so, yeah.
And when did you, like, just full-on jump into the songwriting thing and production thing?
When I moved back to L.A. from Santa Barbara, I thought I was ready to, you know, just jump right in, but it definitely, I needed to put some time in, and so it took a couple years to really just figure out that what it takes to, you know, to make it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. And so it's just, I guess I really started about 2 years ago, but probably 2 years ago was
just
when I really started
dedicating yourself to it.
Dedicating and fully, even more so, like a little over a year and a half ago, I really just went full steam ahead. Like, that's pretty much all I tried to do. I stopped working a normal job and did what I could, you know, freelance and whatever. So
you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
You kind of have to just, like, focus all your time into it.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, what do you think?
Well, yeah, if you can.
Well, I kind of feel like...
Sometimes it's...
I mean, it's tough.
Life throws you curveballs sometimes.
Yeah, first year for me was very tough. I remember that, but...
It definitely hasn't been easy, and it still isn't easy, you know, but it's... I can say that I'm definitely feel happy, and you know, I feel fulfilled, and I know that I'm this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. See, Eddie, do you feel like that with comedy?
No. Comedy doesn't give you that feeling.
Comedy never gives you that feeling?
No.
It's just always spanking you.
It's always kicking your ass.
It's always just saying, nah, not yet. Not
That's
quite
comedy.
Yet. Even when you have a good set, you're like, eh.
No, because you only see the one guy not laughing.
Really?
You ever seen that photo?
No.
There's that draw a cartoon. A guy drew a cartoon. It's like a guy on comic on stage killing, and the whole room, like the whole audience, is laughing. And it says like what the audience sees, and then they do the picture right below it, what the comedian sees, and it's just the comic on stage, and just there's one guy in an empty room with his arms crossed, staring at you. But if you look up the one picture, that guy's in that crowd. But like no one sees that except the. I mean,
that's awesome.
What
I
it
like
is?
That.
You always find the one person not laughing.
You're like, right. Oh, I need to get him.
Yeah.
Or her.
You're like, I don't care about these other morons. Why is that guy not laughing?
You're like, this stuff is dynamite.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like that with music, except we don't get the response always when it's production.
Right.
You have to like. I almost wish there were like viewing parties where you could see how people react to music.
Yeah.
Like that, but there's not.
I feel like, you know, lately though. Definitely the producer is getting more credit, which is seems, you know, and getting more exposure as far as, you know, and people are recognizing the art of the production, I feel like more so now.
And what kind of style do you focus more on? You're doing a lot of pop stuff?
I'm doing all kinds of stuff, but mostly I'd say pop because it's kind of an umbrella for, you know, you can kind of do all kinds of stuff and say it's pop, right?
Right.
So I like to say pop with definitely some electronic influence. I like the urban vibes, but yeah, I like to get people moving and get people dancing, and you know, I like things with energy.
Yeah, no, there's a vibe. It's something that's the reason. Actually, it's the biggest reason I go to Coachella, to see new sounds,
mm-hmm.
to hear new sounds, but also to see how people react.
Oh yeah.
In a group to music, because it's the only time I can see it where I'm not on a stage. And
right. Speaking of Coachella, that's really what kind of turned me on to this style of production. And I'd always kind of made beats, like hip-hop beats here and there, and I knew music was where I wanted to go. I was at Coachella, though, I was like, wait, this count, this kind of music, this is awesome. Like it was Flume, I think, that really was just
Flume's great.
That changed my mind on, because I was not a supporter of like the electronic scene. I'm a rock.
Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I come from rock and like metal roots, and so it's just like, it was different, but.
Was it tough making that transition?
At first it was, and I've embraced it more than like, fully embraced.
Eddie's still confused about Flume. Flume is a DJ from Australia.
Hmm.
Who's like kind of
never heard of him?
He won a Grammy actually the year that Ziggy was up for his album.
Oh yeah,
so it was in the small ceremony. But he won a Grammy this year or last year,
mm-hmm.
and he's a pretty groundbreaking electronic artist, DJ. But he doesn't sing or anything, right?
No, he doesn't.
He's just the producer.
Yeah, he's just a producer, and And I was like, wait, this counts as electronic music? Like, I'm in. I'm sold, yeah.
Well, it's really musical.
It really is.
I think the one thing about Coachella is, like, there are some tents where I walked into the EDM tent just to see what's going on, and some of it's so out. I mean, it is out.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is this? But then you see somebody like Kygo. Kygo killed it.
Amazing.
Kygo just destroyed, and it's he gets a whole 80,000 crowd of people just dancing and, like, watching that and being in it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. And I wish I was there this year. Ugh.
Eddie's that one guy in the crowd.
I'll never know. I'll never know.
What if I put you on the main stage and you have a fluffer?
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't want to be around all those people.
Not even the fluffer?
No.
Nah. That's funny. All right, what was, like, the biggest obstacle from you going from metal and punk into kind of crossing over into pop?
Well, I just, I guess... I mean, there wasn't my circle of friends changed too, which was a big part of it. Kind of, I was hanging out with a bit of a rougher crowd for a while, and I don't know. It didn't seem that difficult. I guess it was more so like coming to terms with just making music all on a computer, and like it's just I didn't really understand that. And but now it's all that makes sense. Yeah, it's
well,
so
I love
exciting.
That what Skrillex says. He's like, the computer is such a young instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like probably the newest instrument in music.
Right.
And it's become so accessible for people to use, and nobody will ever make the exact same beat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see how something that could be generic becomes so vastly different
right.
from DJ to DJ.
Right. Definitely. Definitely.
So did you find that... I always wonder when people make that crossover, did you find that because the market was so explosive with EDM and electronic music, did that influence kind of where you thought you could go in music?
Well, I guess I just think that it was what I was hearing most, too. And it was just when I was seeing, you know, people react,
right.
watching other people and going out to clubs or whatever, going to party and just seeing what people are listening to, it's like... they want the hits, you know?
See, Eddie comes from that rock and roll school.
Right.
His boy Colton, he's in the computer age, as you can see.
Yes.
So I cannot wait till he's a teenager.
Oh, he likes Led Zeppelin.
But just wait till he gets to make his own choices.
He makes his own choices.
I mean, I'm talking when you're like high school, yeah. you're discovering music. That shit's going to drive you crazy. There ain't going to be one guitar
in high school, I was into metal.
Watch out for a little pump, you know?
Metal, yeah, right. And then I got into... Right. Then grunge came in at the end of high school. That's what I...
That was it.
That was all I was. That was metal and then some grunge.
Well, it's come a long way from that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is now, so...
Well, a lot of it's electronic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I kind of like it. I think some things are really musical. What? Kygo's this big DJ. I think he's from Germany, right?
Like somewhere over there.
But what was really interesting, he played the whole time.
He's a great pianist. Yeah,
he's a great pianist.
Who was that DJ that just died?
Avicii.
Avicii, right?
So Kygo was Avicii's protege.
Right.
So he did a
Avicii was
tribute.
Only 28, right?
28. Apparently everybody that was around him kind of saw it coming, but pretty sad. 28 years
very
old.
Sad.
It's terrible.
I was lucky to see him spin at Coachella. That's one of the reasons I also go, because you just never know.
Right.
Never know if that's going to be the last time. So I was able to see him spin, and it was great. It was really great. Anyways, let's play a track. What do you want to play us first?
Let's see. I'll play you probably what's going to be coming out soonest, which would be this cover of Happy by Pharrell. Actually, Evan Blum produced it
awesome.
With me. Yeah. It's a cover of Happy with the singer Lou Taylor on vocals, and
sweet.
It's kind of a dark vibe. Check it out.
Let's hear it.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. I don't care.
that's what you wanna do, because I'm happy.
A different tone from the Pharrell version.
You know what? I actually love that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a big compliment. When an artist copies or covers a song, and it's just like the other version, it does nothing to the interpretation of it. Unless you're trying to completely honor what the artist did, and then it's like you're paying tribute, which is good.
Right.
But a lot of artists just phone it in, and they play something that's...
Well, they did that. No, someone did a Bryan Adams song a couple years ago with a Boys of Summer or something like that, was it?
And it was sounded... Manley?
No, the Ataris.
And it sounded exactly like the Bryan Adams song.
And you're like, why do I need
like,
this?
I'd rather just listen to Bryan Adams.
Not the Boys of Summer.
No.
Was it Boys of Summer, Summer 69 or something? I forgot what it was, but somebody covered it, and I'm just like...
It was the Ataris that covered it. It was... It
sounded exactly like Bryan Adams, almost.
Yeah, see, that's not exciting to me. But when you do something like that, it's awesome. I just heard a great cover of
"Thank You"
"Everywhere" by Fleetwood Mac, and it's the same kind of like brooding soul version.
Speaking of Fleetwood Mac, I actually have a dark cover of "Fortunate Son." Is that Fleetwood Mac or CCR? Yeah,
that's CCR.
Yeah, I got that.
But it's nice.
forget that. Disregard that.
You're young. It's okay. Yeah. You can make those mistakes. All good. No, it was awesome. It was like brooding. I like that you had no drums.
Yeah, it was kind of
it was
just
like super spacious. Like I was like, this is like giving me.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy.
It's trippy, and it's like giving me this like swing with no beat.
Yeah, we like recorded it in the dark with a candle. Like it was a vibe. You know?
No, it sounded awesome.
Thank you.
Your sounds. Don't think I haven't noticed. But I've checked out some of your stuff online, and man, you are very good with sounds.
Thank you.
That's, I think, what makes a difference between a good producer and a great producer.
Well, I pride myself in my sound design, so thank you.
Yes. So, man, it really is. It's got a lot of textures. And, who was the girl singing?
Her name's Lou Taylor. Yeah, she's actually fronts a band called Palm.
Hmm.
They're rad. Yeah, check them out. They're super cool. Yeah.
So what made you decide to go after that song?
I'm signed with a little like boutique licensing agency, and so I'm always thinking of that. I have that whenever I'm writing, I'm kind of just thinking or creating anything. I'm thinking, is it syncable?
Right.
You know, can I do something that's syncable in a cool way? You know, I don't want to sell out, and I've done it. I've made enough of those songs that are just like, you know, kind of
right.
Uppity. Those are great, and there's you know, cheers to everyone making those, because that's good stuff.
Well, I think it's like you have to make music that you want to listen to.
Absolutely,
it's the biggest thing, no matter what.
Yeah.
Probably like the same with crafting jokes. You have to make jokes that you want to laugh at.
Well, what you think is funny.
Yeah.
I can't see you going, ha, 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 that's really good.
No, good if it's funny, no.
Like your process, I would like to see. I'd like to have a little.
Oh, it's not a fun process.
I'd like to just watch.
It's not a good process.
Come up with your jokes.
It's painful. It's painful.
But that you live in your art, just like Chase.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of your biggest influences as producers or DJs?
Yeah,
or
man, biggest influences currently. I mean, definitely like Flume. Like I mentioned before, Flume, huge influence.
I definitely heard it on that version.
Yeah. Disclosure, I love all that stuff. DJ Snake, big influence.
Yeah.
Skrillex, huge. Diplo, all that stuff. Those producers have really like showed me that you can be in the quote unquote EDM right market,
right. Yeah,
and make good stuff, good quality.
I think that's the what separates them from so many others.
Exactly.
And then you also have like these. Literally like jazz artists in the EDM world that are just doing such avant-garde stuff that it's almost too heavy for mainstream.
Well, to me it's interesting that you guys use a singer as an instrument.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like you used to, like, whoever's singing the song, like, that's, they're the artist, they're the, it's their song, mm-hmm. it's about, they're the, you know, the, that's the person you're looking at as the song. But like, as the producer, I guess now it's become sort of the artist, and they're using a singer like they're using any other instrument to create the song, which is it's like flipping it to me on its side, which is different,
right? Know? I think it's a little bit more of a shared spotlight than
it's their voice, but at the same time, it's just to me. I mean, I just because I'm just not familiar with EDM and all that stuff as
absolutely.
Much, but it's just it's strange. It's not strange, but it's just different that you guys use a singer's voice as sort of an instrument in the song,
yeah.
as opposed to being like, okay, you're singing this song and we're just accompanying your song with music. It's just,
well, it's like everything's about sounds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the singer's voice is just another sound in the song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. It's interesting to me.
No, but it becomes a texture. That's what's so great.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just it's new. Like it is. It's new. Interesting.
It's taking that Zen approach to music. How long did it take you to come up with a beat and everything?
That was just a morning, yeah.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
See, that's not easy to do, too, to know when it's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have all this space. What was the process when you were you thinking, I don't want to put a drum beat in this?
It kind of just, it was always like, is the next move okay, do we drop now? Like, do we drop it in? Or do we
resist?
And we kind of just were like, this kind of makes you feel a certain way. So there's an eeriness to it and it just keeps you like on the edge. So we're like, all right, let's
I find that, and like, I'm 39 years old now, that the best artists show restraint. It's not all about, let me show you everything I can do in the bag. It's like showing restraint is much more powerful.
I'm constantly like taking things out when I'm in collaborations and working with other people. I'm like, just, you know, reduce.
Yeah.
Apparently, was it Rick Rubin? One of his nicknames was like the reductionist. I feel that way because I'm always just like, you know, let's
take
just try less. Yeah.
That's good. I like that. It's awesome. Let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
So, this next one is a single that's going to be coming out in a bit. Not anytime so soon, but in the next few months, I'm figuring out. I think it's going to be a part of an EP. I'm just figuring out the project. It's definitely a little bit different than what I've done in the past, and it's got an urban vibe to it. Definitely, you know, pretty heavy drop. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's fun. It's called Part Time.
Yeah,
and I wrote it with Jack Polson and Jonah Weinrich, and I produced it with Jonah as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
Thank you. another perfect picture. Filter it and send it out. Think of all the hours wasted, all the time that's being lost. FOMO feels like fading chances. Got a fear of missing out. They can fix the swipe romances. Aimless, let you ride about. Ain't nobody really here. Nobody's noticing what's in the mirror. I went from swiping right to wiping tears. Acting all wifey, then she disappears. Round and round and round she goes. All the diamonds, all the gold. End up on the dirty floor. Think by now that I should know. I should know. She don't wanna sleep, sleep here overnight. She just wants to love, love me part time. On my mind, she just wants to love, love me part time, yeah. Give me all your fake attention. Come on, baby, let's get real. Check your feet, my story straight now. Did I mention how I feel? We don't want the same affection. Love or hate, is it fear? What's it take to get the message? Even when the message's clear. Ain't nobody really here, nobody's noticing what's in the mirror. I went from swiping right to wiping tears. Acting all wifey, then she disappears. Round and round and round she goes. All the diamonds, all the gold. End up on the dirty floor. Think by now that I should know. I should know. She don't wanna sleep, sleep here overnight. She just wants to love, love me part time, yeah.
Thank you.
Very urban.
Yeah.
It's funny that urban, it's just got like a different sound in EDM. It's not like, when I think of urban, I think hip-hop.
Right.
But that to me is like another hip, it's like a darker version of EDM.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Totally.
You know what,
but the vocals, you know, there's like some rap vocals, yep. Auto-tune, you know.
And I like that you did like the octaves in the vocals.
Yeah.
That was cool. And you like didn't have it on every line. Did you hear that line and you said, I went from swiping right to wiping tears. That's a great lyric. That's a great lyric.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
Very cool sound. I love this. This is, I like this. It's like a showcase.
Yeah.
It's like a catalog. Getting into the catalog.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you know, you made me want to ask you a question just from what you were saying earlier about releasing music. Do you think in this market, like, what are the challenges for new artists like yourself to kind of get noticed or create momentum? Or to, you know, release music? Because it's like, for me, it's like I'm still old school. I still make records. I still think about that. And I see that new artists, they're super talented. And it's like the way they have to release music is so different than the way I was releasing music when I started. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, so I don't even kind of know how I don't know the other way, right? How it used to be.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, for me, it's definitely overwhelming being solo and trying to figure out where to, you know, prioritize everything and which direction, where to turn exactly. You know, it's nice to have a team. Right now it's just me, you know. It's been tough, but definitely I think just meeting, going out and meeting other musicians, right, networking, and seeing how other people are doing it, and just talking with people that are further, a little bit further along than you. It's always gonna give you a little bit of you know, confidence in your craft and what your direction. You know, it's like, these guys are doing it, so it's, you just got to put it out, put your head down, and kind of, I mean, for me, like, I don't really I'm not great with the whole marketing thing. I've been getting 99%
better. 99% of artists are the same.
I've been getting better at it, but it's I could use a manager, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because it's like a singles market.
Yeah.
But the way you drop a single now is so different than the way you would have done it 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
So it's like, do you look for networks like Spotify to mm-hmm. drop it? Do you post it on Facebook? Do you post it on SoundCloud?
Like, yeah. So, I mean, definitely, like, post it everywhere. Like, SoundCloud, for sure. I think SoundCloud's still, it's not as relevant as it used to be, but I think it's you know, it's a great place for people to access your songs for free.
And how long does it, when you drop something, how long of a window do you have?
I say, like, 3 months to get it, like, going.
It just gets lost in the noise of everything else, or
kind
buried.
Of. I mean, I guess nowadays it's kind of like, It could kind of hit randomly sometimes. Like, I had a song that I put out like a year ago, and it was like 8 months later it got put into like some playlist on Spotify and got a, you know, 30,000 plays.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not much, but it's something.
No, it is something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's you kind of, it's you never know.
It's so strange because, like, remember we had him on. One of our old guests, Brian Irwin, he had a movie come out around Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't theatrical release. It was just a solely like a iTunes sort of like digital thing. And he had like a week,
yeah,
and then it's done. Like, you had to hit it hard, as much social media stuff you can, just to try to catch it in a week. Otherwise, it's just buried by the next week's releases.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, yeah. See, that's already just like, you know,
it's just
above my head. And that,
I mean, that's just crazy that that's the
way.
That's
what I mean. That's one of the reasons we started this show.
Yeah,
is like putting a spotlight on artists that are either like known or doing stuff, and artists that are not known,
mm-hmm.
because that's what the industry needs.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It needs a showcase. But like, I'm interested as to the reason I'm asking you this is like, a lot of artists don't know. They're like figuring it out. Same as you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the industry has failed artists like yourself for that reason. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no platform. Like, even Spotify, yeah, put your music on there. Then it's up to you to promote it, to get people there.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily for financial gain, because people aren't buying the record. You know what I mean? It's
right. Like, so I have seen more recently in the last, I guess, 6 to 8 months, more of these distribution platforms that are doing more than what they have been doing in the past. Like, for a while, it was like, okay, TuneCore, just upload your track and close your eyes and, you know, post something on Facebook and hope for the best. But with these new distribution companies, they are invested in you. They'll take a percentage of, your sales, and in turn, they'll do some back-end, you know, A&R stuff, and they'll pitch you to playlists. And so I've seen more of those, like AWOL is one of them, you know, AWOL.
Yep.
And then one I've been talking to recently is Create Music Group. And there's a few of them. Stem, I know, is one. Me and Evan Blum put our last single out on Stem. And so, you know, there's a lot of them too. That's another thing that's tough.
Yeah, it's saturated. I mean, it's exactly what you said. It's like,
this is crazy. I don't know how you get seen or heard anymore. It's just,
well, but it's across the board. It's even with the big shows.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's like, with everything.
You know, John Legend just did Jesus Christ Superstar. It was all over the news. It was all over the advertisements.
No way, really.
But I don't think. Yeah,
I didn't hear of it.
This well, it's just because the market's become.
Sarah Bareilles. Sarah
I would have seen
was
it.
The other, yeah, and it didn't really get
the market's
that much
become
noise.
So specific and like sectioned off to everyone's little pockets of favorites that nothing crosses all of that anymore.
True.
It's everyone keeps going to their one little place to see what they like, and it just it's
and
different
is that
now.
A product of Google knowing everything?
Yeah, maybe.
It could be a product of Google. It could be the analytics that bounce you to your likes, and also that we just now it's such a pickers choose market type of thing where you go where you like your stuff.
Right.
Whereas before there was three TV stations and a couple radio stations, and like that was, you know, MTV.
They were the tastemakers.
You got your video on MTV. That was it. I mean, now it's just you just go where you know you like stuff.
Well, that's why it's like you know, being kind of a veteran, and I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like I feel like while we're, you know, still making our way through this industry, the new artists are really like they don't have as much of a like a stepping stone to like release stuff in a way that can get some traction.
Well, yeah, before you did 5 minutes on Johnny Carson,
right?
You had a comedy career for several decades.
Right.
You had a TV show. I mean, now I've done two late night spots. I'm doing a free internet radio show right now. So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's that way for every artist. It's just impossible. I mean, there's no more that, like, if I just get this, then I'm made.
Well, it's a hustle.
It's a constant hustle. Mm-hmm.
But I think what separates is the content and the quality.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
definitely.
You seem to be doing that, like, taking things in the right way. But I want to play. Let's play one more track. You got one more
track?
That's
all we got.
I only have two
today.
Never
mind. That's all right. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
But if we want to check out more tracks, where can they find you?
Everything is on Spotify, yeah. Just search Hot Work is the name of this project. This, you know, producer.
HOTWORK.
Hot Work. Hot Work Music on Instagram and Facebook.
And if people want to find you online, what's your Twitter handle or Facebook?
At Hot Work Music on all the socials.
Cool.
SoundCloud.com/Hot Work Music. Yeah.
Keep it consistent.
Well, thanks for
coming. You can tell the millennials, they know what's up. When you see these older artists, they're like, well, you could use JW, da 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 da. And then my Facebook is so different. Well, Chase, you know what? We expect big and great things ahead of you. And we're so stoked that you were a guest on our show today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And we look forward to hearing more great things ahead of you. So please come back.
Absolutely.
Open invitation.
Let's do a quick plug for our show on Saturday at the Federal Bar.
We're doing a show on Saturday. This is the last Tuesday before Saturday. So Saturday, April 28th, 8 to 10. Eddie and I decided to do a show together. We're going to do a music, comedy, and magic showcase.
Music. You're doing magic.
No.
And some guy's
doing... Eddie's doing comedy, I'm doing music, and we got two other magicians and another comic.
Should be fun.
It's going to be a good night.
Nice.
I'm very excited.
Come down for that.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Federal Bar, North Hollywood.
Love the Federal.
Chase Rosner.
Chase. Colton, say goodbye.
You're such a bad Bama Jammer.
Bye, guys.
Wait. I promised
Colton. Oh, you promised him a Star Wars thing. Oh, he doesn't have earphones on. All right, one more time.
This one's for you. Promised, see?
All right, everybody. Chase, thanks once again.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Turtle Bar, 8 o'clock Saturday.
That's right. I'll see you there.
We'll see you guys. Bye.
Bye.